Father, thank you for this day that you have made, that we can gather together even though we're scattered, but we're gathering in homes, we're gathering in other places to worship you, to learn from you, to hear from you. Father, thank you that you're the God who turns our mourning into dancing. Thank you that you're the God who has given us his word to encourage us and to guide us. Father, thank you that we are part of a church where you are moving and you are directing and you're walking with us. Whether we're in good seasons or tough seasons, God, you are here with us and we thank you for that. And so God, as we journey, continue to journey in the Psalms this morning, I pray you'll give us ears to hear what you want to say to us. I pray, God, as we think of our lives and where our lives are at this morning, that we will hear the still small voice of the Spirit whispering to us, guiding us, directing us, encouraging us. Thank you for your word. Bless us as we move through these next minutes together. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's good to have you with us this morning. And just before we jump in, just a couple of things. We have our annual business meeting coming up October 6th, 7th, 8th. It's not a three-day meeting, even though there's three dates. There's two Zoom meetings, one on the 6th, one on the 7th. We'd love you to sign up for one of those Zoom meetings. They're going to be annual business meeting town halls where we'll be giving information, taking questions. And then October the 8th, we're asking our members to go on SurveyMonkey. We'll give you more details and vote on the items we need to vote on. So October 6th, 7th, 8th. One other just item of thanks, and you don't see, unless you're here on Sunday, everything that goes on, but behind their scenes, there is all kinds of activities, and one of the guys that spearheads that is Matt Brower, and it is his birthday today, so happy birthday, Matt. I hope you have a great day. Thanks for all you do for us. Well, let me ask you a question as we start this morning. What is your favorite season of the year? What is your favorite season of the year? For some people, it's summer. Others are fall. Some are spring. There's even some crazy people who love winter as their favorite season. If you were asked me, I would say late spring to early fall is my favorite season of the year. In fact, you could set the temperature around 25 degrees and have sun all year, and I'd be a happy man. My wife says I'd miss the seasons. I don't think so. I'm game to try because I definitely like sun and warm. And just like nature, we as human beings go through different seasons in life. In fact, I would suggest to you that life is a journey through different seasons. Walter Brueggemann, a phenomenal Old Testament scholar, suggests that as we move through life, we are always in one of three seasons. A season of orientation, that's where life is going pretty good and most things make sense. Then there's a season of disorientation where nothing makes sense. And then there's this season of new orientation. That's supposed to say new orientation underneath there, but a season of new orientation. And in this season, we experience God lifting us up out of a season of disorientation and giving us new hope, new life, new vision, new perspective. Brueggemann also suggests that we find the same three seasons in the Psalms. And the reason we find the same seasons in the Psalms that we find in our lives is because the Psalms are all about human beings relating to God, relating to one another, relating to themselves and relating to the world around them as they journey through life. And so today, what I want us to do in this second of our series, Living, The Lost Art of Living with Uncertainty and Loss, is I want us to journey through these three seasons together, and then I'm going to interview someone who has gone through all three of these seasons. So let's start with the first season. The first season is the season of orientation. And the season of an orientation, as I already mentioned, is life is normal, whatever normal is. But by normal, I mean today, what I'm talking about is things are not perfect, but life is generally good. In this season, we feel a sense of peace and enjoyment. We're generally happy with most of our relationships. We worship God as a good Father and Creator and Sustainer. Life is generally good. That's a season of orientation. And there are psalms that reflect this season of well-being. They speak of times when life is well-ordered, when people are enjoying God's blessings and worshiping Him for them. These psalms speak of delight and gladness. They rejoice in the majesty of God's creation. Psalm 1, Psalm 8, Psalm 33, Psalm 104, Psalm 145 are all psalms of orientation. Here, listen to these words from Psalm 8. You'll catch what I'm talking about. Psalm 8 says this, "Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. All flocks and herds, the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, all that swim, the paths of the sea. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." Those are good words. Those are words that we speak during a season of orientation. Several years ago now, when my son Eric was about 6 or 7, Sylvia and I were vacationing with our boys with very good friends Dave and Joanna Harita and their boys in Penticton. And one day, Dave and I said, let's take Eric and his oldest son, Stephen, out in one of those little speedboats you rent in the marina of Skaha Lake. And so we got this little speedboat, and the four of us got in it, and we were bombing all around Skaha Lake. We were having a great time. The wind was light. The waves were little ripples. The sun was shining. It was warm. You could say we were really in a season of orientation. We were laughing. Life was good. But then suddenly, over the hills came these dark clouds. And the wind really picked up. And we had been going in this boat, and we were at the far end of Skaha Lake. And suddenly, those little ripples that were waves, they had become large and rough. In fact, the waves were coming over the front of the boat, and if we turned the wrong way, they were actually coming over the side of the boat and coming into the boat. It was crazy. Dave and I weren't sure that we were going to get back to shore safely. We thought the boat might either flip or sink. Our fun boat ride was over. We were now in an entirely different season. We had gone from this season of orientation where we were having fun and life was good, and now we were in a season of disorientation. In a season of disorientation, normal disappears. And you find yourself being disoriented when it comes to your relationship with God or your relationship with others, your relationship with yourself, or even your relationship with the world around you. The death of a loved one, an accident, the loss of a job, a divorce, a health or a finance crisis, the death of a dream, the breakup of a relationship, and many other things, including things like COVID-19, can lead us into a season of disorientation. In a season of disorientation, life just doesn't make sense. We are full of questions and anger and doubt. Life has been turned upside down. It's in an upheaval. The season of orientation is gone. The lament psalms depict this season really well. The lament psalms are psalms for the season of disorientation. And as I mentioned last week, in these psalms, the writers put into words and bring before God their thoughts and feelings of anger and hurt and depression and despair and grief and sadness and doubt. The psalmist knew there was no point in muttering to themselves or stuffing their stuff deep down inside. They knew what they needed to do was give voice to what was going on inside them during their season of disorientation. Psalm 13 and 22 and 74 and 79, Psalm 86, 89 are just a few examples of psalms of disorientation. Listen to the first two verses of Psalm 22. The psalmist says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, I have no rest. God, the psalmist is saying, I'm alone, I'm distressed, I'm broken, I'm in anguish. God, you've left me. You're nowhere to be found in my time of need. God, where are you? Those are the words of someone experiencing a season of disorientation. You also find in these psalms a key cry that is shouted over and over again to God as people journey through this season. Listen to these verses from the psalms and see if you can pick up this key cry. Psalm 13, verse 1 and 2. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Psalm 35, 17. How long, Lord, will you look on? Will you look on? Rescue me from the ravages, my precious life from these lions. Psalm 89, 46. How long, Lord, will you hide yourself forever? How long will your wrath burn like fire? Psalm 94, 3. How long, Lord, will the wicked? How long will the wicked be jubilant? Notice the cry. The cry is, how long, Lord? How long, Lord? Ever said those words as you've journeyed through a season of disorientation? I have. As I've gone through seasons of disorientation, whether they're short or even longer ones, I've often cried out, Lord, how long? How long, God? Those are honest words. And I would also suggest those are helpful words. Back when the Psalms were written, when life got turned upside down, people didn't feel like they had to be happy and celebrate all the time. Rather, they knew what they had to do was lament. And people even had rituals back then that accompanied some of their lament. They put ashes on their head. They put on sackcloth. They fasted. They wept. They expressed their lament and their pain honestly in both word and action. And I think that should be an example to all of us. Because as I said last week, we prefer in our culture to stuff our stuff deep down inside. We're experts at not journeying through the season of disorientation well. Let me ask you this morning. Are you in a season of disorientation? Has your life been put into a tailspin? Has it been turned upside down? Is life in an upheaval? Does God seem absent and aloof? How are you coping with this season? How are you coping with this season? Does anyone know you're in this season of disorientation? If you feel you're in a season of disorientation today, let me encourage you to talk about it honestly and vulnerably. Talk about it with God. And I'd also suggest find someone you trust and share your heart with them. And I want to say to you this morning, it's okay to be in a season of disorientation. It's one of the seasons of life. All of us will go through a season of disorientation. The trick is, don't get stuck there. You journey through a season of disorientation. It can be a short journey or a long journey, but it's a journey. Don't spend your life stuck in the season of disorientation. Back to Skaha Lake. So David and I are in this boat with our two young sons, and we've gone from a season of orientation where we're enjoying taking this speedboat over the lake, and suddenly there's clouds, there's wind, there's waves coming in over the boat. We're not sure if we're going to make it back. It's a season of disorientation. And just when we thought we wouldn't make it, the wind died down. And the waves settled. And we were able to get safely back to the marina. And after we parked the boat, or docked the boat, I guess, after we docked the boat and got onto the wharf, boy, did we feel good all of a sudden. There was like new life. We made it. We're going to live through this. There was joy that we brought our kids back to our wives, because there would have been a lot of unjoy from our wives if we didn't. It was a season of new orientation. We were happy again. We were joyful. We'd gone from orientation to disorientation to new orientation. New orientation is the season after the storm. The dark clouds that were hanging over your life have moved away. You feel like new life has come. You're renewed. You're restored. It's like the agony of Good Friday has been replaced with the joy of Easter Sunday. You have new meaning, new hope, new vision, new perspective. Those who have gone through cancer and recovered know what I'm talking about. Those who have journeyed well through grief know what I'm talking about. Those who have battled depression and gained victory, some victory over that depression, know what I'm talking about. Several songs speak of this new orientation. Examples of them are Psalm 29 and Psalm 40 and Psalm 65, 93, 114. In Psalm 40, the psalmist speaks of experiencing a new orientation. Listen to verses 1 and 2. I waited patiently on God, who stooped to me and heard my cry. God lifted me out of the desolate pit, out of the mire and clay, and set me on a cliff, making my footing sure. Those are the words of someone who is experiencing a season of new orientation, of new hope, of new perspective. Three seasons. Orientation, disorientation, new orientation. We see all three seasons of life in Psalm 30. In this psalm, all three seasons are present. As I read through some of the psalm, I want you to observe the different experiences in each of the seasons. The season of orientation starts in verse 6 and goes to the beginning of verse 7. Listen. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you have established me as a strong mountain. In the season of orientation, the psalmist senses stability because of the Lord's goodness. That is suddenly shattered by then an experience of disorientation. The season of disorientation starts in the second half of verse 7. You hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to you I made supplication. What profit is there in my death? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it tell you of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me, O Lord. Be my helper. Do you hear the words of disorientation there, of hopelessness, of despair? And then there comes the joy of new orientation. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. The season of disorientation has been replaced with a season of new orientation. Sackcloth has been replaced by joy. Did you notice in the different seasons of life the different responses? As you read the Psalms, you'll see that the Israelites, as they journeyed through the different seasons of life, they had different responses. During seasons of orientation, they acknowledged God's goodness and presence. During seasons of disorientation, they lamented and they wept. And during seasons of new orientation, they celebrated and were thankful. The Israelites teach us it's okay for our responses to change as the seasons of our lives change. You don't have to have the same response to God and to yourself and to the world and even to others as you go through the different seasons of life. Different seasons of life call for different responses. And remember this, while the seasons of life will change, let's remember a very important underlying truth. Our God remains our God. He's one who will remain constant throughout our changing seasons. He's the one who invites us to pour out our hearts to Him, whatever season we find ourselves in. Let me ask you as I close, what season are you in? Are you in a season of orientation, disorientation, or new orientation? How are you going to journey well through that season? Here's my encouragement. Don't journey alone. Journey with God, even if He seems aloof. Journey with a small group of trusted others in whatever season you find yourself in. Whether it's a season of orientation, a season of disorientation, or you're celebrating and thankful for the season of new orientation. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to take a few steps to my right, and I'm going to interview somebody who has been through all three of these seasons over the last few years. And you're going to recognize this person because she's right here, Kimberly.
It's me.
That's you. And you have been through some seasons. You've been through orientation, disorientation, and new orientation. So let's start with a few years ago. You're living in Prince George. You're married. Life is good. Tell us about the season of orientation.
Yeah, so, you know, just finished Bible college, moved to Prince George to kind of really settle down and start life. Yeah, I was happily married, had an adorable dog, bought a house. Life was pretty much going just as one would plan, just checking off the boxes as they go by.
So life's good.
Yeah.
You feel like you're walking with God. You've got a new dog. You've got a husband. Life is good. And then you moved suddenly from a season of orientation, very suddenly from a season of orientation to a season of disorientation. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah. Yeah, so basically over the course of a weekend, my husband at the time, his name is Nathan, we were both 25, turning 26. He was turning 26. And so this is 2014, September of 2014, actually. And yeah, over the course of a weekend, he passed away. So kind of started having some chest pain on Friday evening, and we went into the hospital, and they sent us home. And then on Sunday afternoon, I believe it was. He just fell over and never got back up.
Wow. And you were watching a movie at the time, right?
I think I was reading, and he was kind of pacing around. I was kind of, because we had been in the hospital and then got sent back, and they're like, we can't really find anything wrong. I was actually kind of in more of the, like, okay, stop, like, man cold time. Like, just sit down and relax and chill and, like, let your body rest, and then you're going to get better. And, yeah, and then next thing I know, he had kind of fallen over on the couch. And, like, you don't even consider, like, especially when you're young like that, like, you don't think about the possibility of them not getting up again.
Right.
It's just, yeah.
Wow.
And so, launched me into that season for
and
sure.
And so that was a sudden start to a season of disorientation. And how long just walk us through that season. How long were you in that season? Obviously that season was filled with grief, but after the acute grief, tell us about the season of disorientation. Let me just put it that way.
Yeah, it's interesting because, yeah, I feel like every journey is different. And so I think the season of disorientation can last very many different lengths for different people. And even for me, it was kind of in layers, I would say. Like, for sure, the first 6 to 8 months was just like, I don't remember anything even really that happened. I was just kind of like plugging along, like taking it day by day, and somehow then I made it to like 6 to 8 months, and then there kind of is more of a, like, there's still really deep sadness rooted in there, and still, like, doesn't feel like the future could ever be good, really. And then it starts to ebb away, and suddenly you start to notice some of the good things in life, and suddenly you get excited about the future, maybe, and start actually planning for, like, things you might want to do. And so it really kind of, I think, comes and then goes in layers of of different steps. And it's you don't really realize where you are until maybe you're out of it.
So you went through a season of orientation, then suddenly you were suddenly thrown into disorientation, but you came out of it slowly and over a extended period of time, and now you're in a season of new orientation. What's that like?
Yeah, it's actually really just amazing how SBC as a whole has really played such a big role in my reorientation season. I think one of the best pieces of advice that I received when Nathan passed away was just don't make any big life changes for at least the first year, because sometimes in grief, in your season of disorientation, you just uproot everything and you're like,
right,
I don't want to be here. I don't want to see these people. I got to change this up, and you just want to get out. And I feel like that was really good. It made me really sit in that season of disorientation and not rush out or try and switch it up. But then, I tried to leave sooner, actually, but then when I finally did feel like God was saying, yep, okay, it's time to make some life changes, and he brought me here, that was like one of the really first big moments of like, wow, life can be really good again. Not just okay and passable, but like God has good things in store for me. And it was even interesting, like, in Prince George, in my season of disorientation, I had such strong community support around me. And so I was really worried coming here that I wouldn't find that, and that, you know, I would maybe relapse back into some disorientation and just be lonely and not have connections. And God was really so faithful in providing that. And I think kind of like disorientation, there was kind of some stages of like, okay, now I'm okay just being by myself and being me, even though that's just maybe who knows what the future holds, but be okay in that season and find good things there. And then also just like recently, I mean, in the last couple of years, reconnecting with Jake and that whole journey and getting married again, this past March. Yeah, it's just kind of new and new layers that peel back into like really good places.
Yeah, and just before I ask you a couple of questions to close out, but you made a really good point, and you said sit in it. You sit in that, and I think that's so good. I think we journey through disorientation, and as we journey through our season of disorientation, we can't get stuck in it, because I've seen people get stuck for life. We also need, as we journey, to sit in it and allow us to process it well. And part of that, that's a great word, to just sit in it.
Yeah, well, and I think, so sitting in it. Wow, I just totally lost my thought.
Did you? Just like that. Well, let me just move to the bail you out by moving to the next question. You go back, orientation, disorientation, new orientation. What have you learned?
Yeah, so I think, actually, that's perfect segue. I just remembered what I was going to say.
There you go.
It works really well.
Oh, see, it just gave you a moment.
Yeah, no, I think actually that is one of the biggest takeaways is don't rush out of the disorientation. Because, looking back, there would have been a time where I would have said, take me back to when Nathan was alive. Take me back there. Mm. Then there kind of was a time where it was like, wow, no, this has been just really important time. And, like, God has actually drawn so close to me in those low times. And I actually don't want to give up that intimacy that I found with God. And even now, like, I think the same is true. Like, yeah, there's so many times of just, like cry, like, literally on the floor of the shower, just crying out to God. And those moments really shaped my spiritual journey and my faith with God. And it's just been a blessing to be able to go through those seasons. And even though it was horrible and awful.
I was going to say, no blessing while you were in then, right?
Yeah. Sometimes.
Okay.
I mean, like, there was those moments of when you cry out and you actually feel like God's presence descend on you. That was a blessing in that moment for sure. But overall, yeah.
So is there anything you would say in particular to someone who is in a season of disorientation right now?
Yeah. I think it would be, lean in.
Mm-hmm.
Don't rush out. Allow yourself to actually experience the feelings and the emotions that come alongside with that. Don't run away from it. But also, have hope. Mm. Whether it's in this life or the next, there is hope that God is working, that He'll be with you in those low times, and don't give up.
Awesome. Now, you've done something very special with your journey. Tell us about that. You've written an album.
So being a musician and songwriter as well, I processed a lot of my journey in songwriting. And so I wrote songs kind of based on different stages of grief that I had, all kind of sourced around the story of a shipwreck. So the first song, which I'm going to sing here in a minute, starts out with kind of like everything is great and really that orientation, right? Everything's normal. We're building this life. Everything's really great and just working out. And then the second half of the song comes shipwreck, where it just says, in the space of a heartbeat, chaos erupts. And I think that's so true for many seasons of disorientation.
Right.
They come very quickly and unexpectedly. And then throughout the album, each song kind of rests on different aspects of that grief journey. And then the final song ends up at port and is very much talking about reorientation and rebuilding, not leaving behind the things, because those are really important, and we want to take those with us, but what does it look like to rebuild? And so it kind of takes you through that whole journey.
Is your album almost done?
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Hopefully. We've been working on it. Nick and a few of the other guys here, we have a little recording studio back, so we've been putting some time in there, and they've really taken some of my bare bones songs and made them really beautiful. So I'm really excited to finish it. Hopefully in the next few months here, we'll get it out there and it'll be available.
Good. So we're going to close the service today in a little bit different way. Kim's going to sing a song from her album. We're going to listen as you do that. And as you go do that, I'll pray for you. Father, thank you for Kim. Thank you for her willingness to share her journey today, God. It has been an amazing journey of orientation, disorientation, and new orientation. And Father, I'm thankful for her knowing you and having her lead, having you lead her through these days and through these years. Father, thank you that you've led her here. Thank you that for the blessing she is to us. Thank you for her and Jake. I pray you'll continue to bless their relationship. And just thank you for the gifts you've given Kim that she shares with us each Sunday, and the special gift of writing songs. So Lord, as she ministers to us now with this song, I pray we will listen and you will work in these words. Amen.